Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right, Jim and Jamal back on the air. Zaylor will not be with us today. He is actually at the Minnesota Vikings game. He was celebrating his birthday, and a friend gave him some tickets. So he is out there today, so he's got the day off. So we can really talk about Joe Biden today. At any rate. But anyway, Jamal is here. Jamal, say hello.
Hey, happy Sunday, everybody.
All right, and as always, thank you so much for tuning in on your Sunday afternoon or your Sunday evening, wherever you may be. We also, just to confirm, I believe Dr. Potts is on the line with us also. Are you on the line, Charles?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great, great. Charles, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
All right.
Hey, Uncle Charles.
At any rate, we're going to be talking about this issue with these boosters, okay? So Charles is going to be with us today to talk about, and I'll do a disclaimer again, as always, when he's on the show. Just please understand, he's not here to give anybody any medical advice or anything like that. Always talk to your own doctors or consult with your own doctors regarding any decisions that you make regarding your health care. Okay, having said that, we are going to talk about not only that, we're going to be talking about guns. I get these emails regarding this business about guns and understanding guns, et cetera. So we're going to be touching on that towards the end of the show as well. So right now, let me just see here if I can get this working here. I want to make sure I get everybody's comments as they're coming in. And okay. We've already got a hit, guys. Jim from Jersey has already said, I'll defend Biden if Z is out today.
I don't know how anybody could defend Biden at this point.
Well, hey, we'll definitely get to it. And I'm glad somebody is standing up for Zaylor since he's not here. Go ahead, Jamal.
Well, Jim from Jersey, call me at 4 o'clock or 4:15 because I got to hear you defend this man at this point. I really have to hear this one.
Well, before we get too far into it, and Jim, before you have to worry about calling Jamal, who do you have on blast today, buddy?
All right, I got on blast today. This is a tragic story of a Tennessee teen fatally shot mom after she took his cell phone. A Tennessee teenager has been charged with fatally shooting his sleeping mother in the head after she took away his cell phone. Sean Willis, who was 17 at the time, allegedly shot his mom, Sandy Willis, with a handgun she kept on her nightstand. Not in the safe, she kept it on her nightstand in their Rocky home in April 2020. Willis allegedly took the gun into a different room so she could not hear him loading it while she was sleeping, and then he stood over her and shot her in her head while she was sleeping. So that's why I'm putting on blast. It's tragic. It's not as funny as it normally is sometimes, but considering some of the things we're going to be talking about, I thought it was appropriate.
No, absolutely. These things with handguns, people have to understand about securing them also. Hey, we're also going to be talking about the, I want to send shout outs, but I got a blast first. I want to know if my listeners have any idea about the salaries that these people get that are elected officials in the Senate and in the House. Let me just give you something very quickly. Salary of retired United States presidents after they are out of office, $221,400 for life. Salary of House Senate members. So that means if you're in the House or you're a Senate member, and even if you're a House or a Senate member for 1 year, you're going to get $174,000 for life. If you're Speaker of the House, if you attain that position, you're going to get $223,500 for life. Now, if you're the salary of a majority or minority leader for life, $193,400 for life. That means that if you're in that office or in that spot one time, that's what you're going to end up getting for life. This is a waste of money. And of course, who do you think is the one that approves this money? They are. They are. Look at the dollars associated with that. Now, let me give you the average salary of a teacher, $40,000 a year. Average salary of a deployed soldier, $38,000 a year. Do the math, guys. At any rate, I wanted to share that with you. Okay, now, I also want to send out a shout to the family, to the Petito family of Gabby. I got calls from people and emails from people asking about this situation. We talked about, you know, Brian Laundrie last week, and now we've got additional information. Obviously, they have found Miss Petito's body, and it's been ruled a homicide. So it's sad. So we want to make sure our prayers go out for those, for that family, and hopefully Brian Laundrie will be caught soon. Jamal, I said it once. I said it. I'll say it again. There's no way that that guy's in that swamp. He's got them. He's got them looking for him in the wrong direction, in my opinion.
We discussed this off air. I'm still waiting for all the evidence to come
in. I think somebody else is trying to call in here. Let me just hold on a second. Charles, I just want to make sure. If I cut you off, call back in. But I think somebody else is calling in as well. So hold on a second. Oh, hello. Is somebody else on the air now? It looks like we have more than one caller, so I'm not sure here. Charles, are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And do we have another caller on the line?
Candice, I'm just listening in.
Oh, okay. Not a problem at all. All right, because I just saw another one that was a call in, so I just wanted to make sure. So no problem at all. Okay, so at any rate, at this point, I really do not believe that he's in that swamp. Jamal, I know that you had some.
There's a lot of things. I'm just waiting to see pan out. I'm just saying, I know there's a very likelihood, and he is the prime suspect. I just find it kind of curious that the police have not named him as a suspect, but they have said that they're looking for him for fraud. The FBI is involved.
Well, wait, I'm going to get into that actually because of an email.
Okay.
So let's hold that till we get there.
Okay.
All right, because I don't want to have to address it twice, okay? That's the only reason. Okay, so having said all that, okay. So I do have somebody on blast, and that is Joe Biden. Joe Biden is saying that the unvaccinated people are impacting the economy. I got to put him on blast about that. How in the world can you tell us that the people that are not vaccinated, and in that group includes people that have already had COVID that don't want to get the vaccination, how are you going to say that it's impacting the economy? That, to me, is an excuse. Okay, he's trying to justify the economy based upon inactions and actions that he has made. And he's trying to point the finger against the unvaccinated people. There's only, they say, what, 75 million people unvaccinated? So you're telling me with 350 million people in this country, those 75 million are impacting all the rest of us. That is absolute nonsense. All right, and it's another Joe Biden stating facts that are not correct. At any rate, anything on that, Jamal?
Yeah, I'm sure the unvaccinated's taxes are going to be raised.
Yeah, if they can figure out who it is. Okay, let's keep moving. Let me read these emails, and Charles and Candace, I guess you guys can listen in and can comment as you will if you want. But anyway, the first one, Jim. Joe Biden is pushing a false narrative about the Border Patrol and the use of horses. It is clear no one used any whips, and yet he has taken action against law enforcement doing their job. He is distracting from the surge of Haitians and others that are in the Del Rio fiasco. He's cleared them out. However, it's still shameful that he would point the finger at the Border Patrol agents. He's distracting from the real issue, and that's the border surge. And that's from Lucy from Arizona. Listen, it is a false narrative. I have friends that own horses that have been talking about this all week. That was not a whip. It is the reins that those horses are that they use with those horses. The horses that you see, guys, on TV when they're trying to force the horse to move, because horses, believe it or not, as big as they are very, very fearful. And with people rushing at them and things of that nature, they use those reins to control the horses. Nothing more, nothing less. For him to turn around and place all of those guys on an administrative leave and saying they're going to conduct an investigation and he's actually making them guilty before they even conduct the investigation. This is absolutely wrong, in my opinion. And he's way out of line on this, but once again, he's creating distractors away from the other issues that he's being confronted with. Jamal, you have anything on that?
No, this is just typical politics stuff. This is why stuff can never get accomplished. You know, like I always say, no matter who's in there, it becomes a political battle. And we can't accomplish nothing like that ever. You know what I mean? At some point, when are these people going to start doing what's right for the American people? Now, at first glance, it looked like they were spinning whips at him. I couldn't tell. But then you told me that does make sense.
Right.
How you explain that.
Those reins are on those horses. I mean, that's right. Part of the equipment that's right. On these horses.
And even at that, with the reins, I saw him spinning. I never saw him hitting anybody, though.
The guy who took the picture was interviewed. He said nobody hit anybody.
Right.
This is just shameful behavior.
Right.
You know, shameful behavior is the bottom line. You know, so at any rate, just want to mention that. And, you know, to put these men and women all on an administrative leave is wrong. At any rate, Charles, I don't know if you have any comments about that, or Candace, if you have any comments about that, but that's just what it is. If not, I'll move on. Second email. Jim, the Trump administration stated from the beginning that the whole run issue was a hoax. The Dem used that for investigations and impeachment. Now it all comes out that Hillary and her cohorts were behind it. And now the liberal media has egg all over their face. Watch out, Hillary. Your attorney is not going to jail alone. Jason from St. Louis. This is huge because that's exactly right. The Trump administration did say that that was all a hoax when he was running for office because of the fact that they didn't want him to get elected. And the realities are her attorney, Hillary's attorney, or former attorney now, has been arrested or indicted, I should say. And I'm telling you, it's going to come out, Jamal, because the reality is nobody likes going to jail alone.
Let me tell you something, man. Hillary is not going to jail.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah, it's not happening. So nobody get your hopes up. If she didn't go to jail for tearing up 3,000 emails and deleting all that stuff, she's not going to jail. You know, I wish. You know what I mean? I'd be celebrating down the street if she did. But I don't see that happening.
Yeah, well, it is what it is, without a doubt. Let's see here. We got a whole bunch of stuff. Comments now. Let me just see what these are.
Microphone.
I already saw that. Wow, I have to run for Congress next year on the money. Okay. And then another person, wow, those are ridiculous amounts of taxpayer money for life. Guys, I hate to say it, but I told you last week that he killed that girl. Well, we're going to come to that in a second, okay? Go ahead, James. How can you defend that about Joe Biden, that unvaccinated are affecting the economy? And what are the reins made of? They're leather. There's no doubt about it. Whips are made of leather as well.
Microphone.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Yeah. Whips are made of leather as well. So that's okay. So what? Most of the things that are on a horse is leather.
Right.
You know, cowboys, most of what they have is leather. So
saddle,
what?
Saddle,
that's got nothing
strap.
To do with anything, and they weren't whipping anybody with it. So for that particular listener, let me tell you, do a little research, and you'll find out it's a little bit different. Either way, Biden is misleading the public. Now we got another one that says, you want to talk about how much politicians make? That is what you should be concerned with. And they gave me a link to go to. James, I have a side that's made of leather that is also a whip. Trump also said the pandemic was a hoax. Okay, we're not talking about what he said was a hoax. We're talking about the Russian hoax, so I'm not going to get into that. At any rate, it is what it is. Jamal, go ahead.
Oh, by the way, I heard they passed a bill to pay Israel $1 billion for an Iron Dome.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, see, this is the kind of stuff that I have a problem with. We have a homeless crisis out here. We have people hungry out here. And now we're paying Israel $1 billion.
They're an ally.
I
understand that. I'm just telling you. They're an ally. That's why.
I mean, you got to take
care of it. They're going to do it.
You got to take care of your home and your backyard first. Stop doing this kind of stuff and then raising our taxes.
I'm just telling you, that's all. That's what it was. Got another comment. With that amount, we could have paid 500 500 politicians a yearly wage of $250,000 for 18,400 years.
Yeah, I know some managers,
was that tax cut.
I know some managers at McDonald's that could do a better job than some of these people are doing.
Yeah, well, you got that part right. But at any rate, so this business, okay, being misleading, but look, the Russian hoax thing, that was a big deal. I mean, what's the guy from California? Nancy Pelosi for one, but also Alan Schiff. These guys, we got the solid information. These guys were lying about all of these things. And now look at what's happening. It's all a lie. You know, and I'm not saying it, because I know Jim from Jersey is going to jump on this, but I'm not saying that, these politicians, they just fabricate stuff. I'm going to move on. All right. The bottom line is the Russian thing was all a hoax. Watch out, Hillary. Okay. All right. Let's keep going. Third email. Jim, why would they only issue an arrest warrant for Brian Laundry for fraud and not murder? And that's from Polly from Riverside. Jamal, that's why I was saying earlier that somebody, I was going
to
read that.
That's why I'm not jumping to conclusions yet. I'm waiting for it all to come out.
Well, the reason why they haven't done it yet is because of the fact that that's not the protocols to follow. He's a suspect or a person of interest. That is not enough yet to do an arrest warrant. The reason why they issued a warrant for fraud is because that's something that he actually did. And they're going to use that as a reason for the manhunt to be able to bring him in and get him into custody. In the interim is what they're doing. I can guarantee you this. They are collecting evidence. That's what they want. They want to have solid, good evidence that he's the one that did it. Because if you don't have that, then he's going to end up walking.
Okay.
One more point. They can't make the emotions of this whole scenario get in their way. It's like what I put in my book, Defending a Serial Killer. You get emotions have to be kept out of the judicial process. If not, you can make a mistake. So these guys are going to make sure they have ironclad proof against this guy. But in the interim, because they've got a fraud warrant, they can go after him. And that's why. Okay. Go ahead.
They haven't said a cause of death yet, right?
They said homicide, but they have not given
the title. Right.
Exactly.
I mean, would like a shoe print be by, I mean, one of his shoe prints be by the murder scene or something like that? That could.
Okay, now wait a minute. She can't go by that. I mean, she could have died after he passed by. I mean, who knows?
Okay.
So I don't think a footprint is enough,
Well, the Bruno Mollies in the OJ case was a big thing.
Okay, I'm not going to get into the OJ case, okay?
All right.
I mean, OJ was guilty as homemade sin, but that's besides the point. Let's see. Somebody else said something? No. Okay. I just make sure there weren't any other comments on that one. So at any rate, so that's the deal. And that's why they do it that way, guys. It has to be done that way. They're going to make sure that they have all of their evidence. It's going to be tight. And that's when they'll already have him in custody. But personally, I still say the same thing I said last week. That man is not in that swamp. Okay. I think his parents are involved with helping him get away. And that man is going to be either in Mexico or he's going to be in Canada. But he's in hiding for a reason. That's what I say. Now, today we heard that Dog the Bounty Hunter is out looking for him. And where is he looking? Mexico. We shall see. We shall see. All right. Listen, we're going to go ahead and move out of these emails and get to Dr. Potts. Charles, welcome back to the show. I think this is your third or fourth time, whatever it's been on the show. So we always appreciate you taking the time to spend with us on this very controversial issue about these vaccinations and which one and et cetera. And now we're being confronted with this issue about the booster shots. Tell us how you feel about these booster shots or anything you want to tell us about the boosters.
Well, it's not so much about what I feel about it. What I'll do is share my understanding of the rationale for moving into a scenario of boosters. But before I say that, going back to the issue of the whips and the people, a braided whip, regardless of the length, and of course, the longer, the more power that's involved with that crack you hear with the whip is actually the tip breaking the sound barrier. If you hit somebody with that, that will leave a mark. So if there's an issue about people being hit from a medical perspective, that will leave a mark. So if you don't have any evidence in the people, then you really don't have anything. You know, even in addition to witnesses and say they didn't see anybody get struck. And generally speaking, what I've seen on horses is flat, not braided, in terms of the reins attached to the bridle for guiding the horse.
Right.
So anyway, the U.S. population, as of 30 days ago, that has been vaccinated, the number of vaccine doses administered is 365,767,674. The U.S. population is 333 million. I'm sorry, did I say 365,000? It's 365 million.
Right.
767,674. The U.S. population is 333,394,863. So more doses have been given than there are people in the United States. And that's confounded by a number of variables. Some individuals having one dose or the single dose vaccine. Some have had two, and then some have had multiple doses across different manufacturers. But if you break it down into population fully vaccinated, those over 12 years old, 60.7 or 61%. Those over 18, 63%, and those over 65, about 81.5% have been fully vaccinated. So that wouldn't matter if it was the J&J single dose or the other two with the two-dose vaccine. Now, vaccine effectiveness, or VE, especially with the Delta, has been declining over a 5 to 6 month period. So the ranges in the pre-Delta environment were reported 87% or higher. Now, certainly if you're reading literature from Pfizer, they'll be higher than that. If you're looking at the international literature, then you'll see different numbers. Post-Delta, the vaccine effectiveness drops down anywhere between 39% and 84%. And that can be region specific. So the effectiveness against, let's say, admission to the hospital ranges from 75% to 95%. So, and some of the things that affect that, even in terms of you talking about people who end up being hospitalized, that you have hospitals that don't have the staff to do all of the admissions. Some hospitals have a limit on critical care beds or on staffing. Some have a more robust outpatient where they send respiratory out and they're taking care of more people at home. So when we talk about hospitalization, you look at statistics. You know, changes in policies can reduce the numbers going into the hospital with or without the vaccine. So now, the studies are really now just being conducted to say that booster doses are safe and are actually immunogenic. And if you look at the rationale from the FDA or the CDC, the issue is that the SARS-CoV-2, the vaccine response to that, especially in light of the Delta, there's no question about the effectiveness decreasing. Now, when you look at the Israeli study, in that the Israeli study, Israel, as everyone knows, has had a high vaccination rate. And they still have people, just like we do, who are unvaccinated. So there's about 1 million people out of 9 million who are eligible for the vaccine and haven't taken it. Only 60% of the total population is fully vaccinated with two doses. Now, they're monitoring the data and the recent spikes that are related. And, oh, by the way, theirs was primarily the Pfizer vaccine. By month 5 or 6, only the 30 to 40% of protection is available. So you almost have to go with an idea or a concept of a booster. Now that's not entirely cut and dry. there is certainly precedence for booster shots. And if you look at other vaccines that are common that use 2 or 3 doses, the shingles, you get an initial, you get a repeat in 2 to 6 months. Hepatitis A, you get the initial, and you get a follow-up in 6 months. With Hep B, you do the initial, then 1 to 2 months later, you get a second. 6 to 18 months, you get a third. And as a physician, you know, they recommend after 10 years, we get another one. Another booster. And all of that's dependent on how long it takes for an individual virus and your body's immune system to wear down or, you know, stop producing antibodies as much. So it's critical to wait for additional safety data and regulatory allowance for the booster doses. I don't think that there's any rush or need to panic, regardless of the rhetoric about that right now. One of the things in terms of the relation of this immunogenicity, when you get exposed to the antigen, you have what's called immunoglobulin A, then you have immunoglobulin M, and you have IgG or immunoglobulin G. So it's IgA, IgM, IgG. Initially, you get IgA peaks in response to the presentation of the antigen. Then IgM is your intermediate form. So that goes up and then it goes away. Your long-term is the IgG. IgG takes about 3 months to fully reach peak effect. So you have this whole complex of immunogenicity to contend with the exposure. So the initial doses prime the system. The second one really triggers the immune response, and you're going to get the acute phase response, and then you're going to get the long-term response. The long-term is what you're looking for in terms of herd immunity. So when we talk about the shingles, Hep A, Hep B, HPV, or other vaccines, then what we're looking at, which one is going to give you, and specifically what length of long-term immunity. For example, people born before 1957, you don't have to get a measles vaccine. You've been exposed to it. You have lifelong immunity. So the jury is still out as to whether or not after one dose, two dose, or three dose, you're going to have long-range immunity to the tune of 10 years or lifelong where this is. It's too new. That's one of the reasons why you do research for 10 years. As opposed to however short this time has been.
Charles, somebody was talking. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Somebody was talking to me about trying to compare all of this to the polio vaccine, getting the polio shot. And I know that I've spoken to you about that, and I remember you telling me there's a difference between apples and oranges on that.
Yeah, we're not really looking at something like that. Why go with polio? We have all of these other ones that use booster shots. You say tetanus. You haven't had a tetanus shot in 10 years, you get a booster. So you're looking at different organisms with different relationships within the body. And you look at all the decades of experience that you have with that one. This is brand new. And if you're looking at creating your own messenger RNA to inject people with, I wouldn't go there with it. The fact that you hear about polio and people are comfortable with polio shots, you want to transfer that comfort to this one, I think there are legitimate concerns and reasons for people to want to be due diligence on this and to look at it very carefully and not just take the word of the media or whoever is creating the narrative, because you don't really hear from the people who are opposed to it for legitimate scientific reasons.
But Charles,
and when you do hear from them, that platform gets taken down very quickly.
I got a text message from one listener. So would they have to get the booster shot? I mean, every 6 months, if this thing is going to...
No, you can't really tell that at this point. Because what you're looking for is antibodies. How long do the antibodies last? Now, so far, with the initial two-dose shot, 5 to 6 months, it doesn't mean that you're going to require every 6 months or every year. You don't have the data to support that. You don't have the data to say that it doesn't. And for example, like right now, if you're looking at a three-dose regimen, then it's more like the hepatitis B as opposed to a shingles, which needs two doses, or you're looking at HPV or human papilloma virus, where you get an initial, then 1 to 2 months, and then 6 months later, you get a third one that confers long-term immunity. There are other considerations here, because you're also looking at a virus that's been around since 2002. The vaccine is really all about SARS-CoV-2. Data 2019, 2019 is just part of, you know, the current narrative. So there's been time to look at it from a number of different perspectives, and you're trying to pull all of this together. So are you likely to have more side effects with the third one than you did with the first or second? If you weathered the first and second, it's doubtful that the third will give you any significant issues in that regard. But nobody wants to walk around unprotected. Now, that really brings up another topic in terms of creating an assurance. The vaccine is not your antidote to presumed kryptonite. It's not a lead shield that keeps you ever getting sick from all of this. When you look at the number of people, and I know we've been over this before, in terms of the risk category. So if you're looking at at-risk individuals, you're dealing with the same risk that we've always had from the top 10 causes of morbidity and mortality that people die from. 2.8 million people a year die from the top 10 causes, which is heart disease, 23.5%, cancer, 21.3%, which includes lung, prostate, and colorectal in men, lung, breast, and colorectal in women. From injury, 6%. Now, that's not necessarily COVID-related, but chronic lower respiratory disease, 5.7%, et cetera. Stroke, Alzheimer's, diabetes, influenza and pneumonia, 2%, kidney disease, 1.8%. So you still have those. What are your risk factors for dying of COVID? Well, starting, you've got cancer, cerebral vascular disease, chronic kidney disease, COPD, diabetes 1 and 2, heart condition, smoking, obesity, or being overweight, pregnancy, Down syndrome, HIV, all of these are risk factors for COVID. So they're being prioritized to get the booster, just as they were being prioritized to get the vaccine. But these two groups overlap. Now, way down at the bottom of this, what you see is immune deficiency. Now, when we talk about immune deficiency, what are the things that affect your immune system that are important as it relates to COVID? Now, you've heard me say before, nutritional deficiencies are important. Canadian study evaluating data since 1936. Since the 1950s to now, the nutritional or micronutrient value of your common things such as lettuce, tomatoes, different things that you're eating have been reduced from 400 milligrams per edible portion to 50. So it's 1/8 of the nutrient value that it had over our lifespan. So when we talk about the immune system, you're talking about critical aspects of it, whether it's vitamin A or whether it is the zinc, which is the gatekeeper for the immune system. So the list of 9 out of 10 Americans are deficient in potassium. 7 out of 10 are deficient in calcium. 8 out of 10 are deficient in vitamin E. 50% of Americans are deficient in vitamin A, vitamin C, and magnesium. More than 50% of the general population is vitamin D deficient, regardless of age. And that directly affects your ability to fight off an infection such as COVID, because it's protective of the endothelial lining, especially of the respiratory tract. Vitamin A, also respiratory tract and GI tract. 90% of Americans of color are vitamin D deficient, and that's because pigmentation blocks the conversion of vitamin D in the skin. So 70% of elderly Americans are vitamin D deficient. These are all your high-risk categories.
Charles, let me ask you a question.
Zinc deficiency is about 16%. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Charles. Let's just take for a moment that, as we know, COVID came out, I'm just going to say January of last year, okay, because that's when Trump announced and people started, you know, and the issue with the vaccine. When the vaccine finally came out, so anybody that got the vaccine, because this is September, almost October, so anybody that's gotten the vaccine, that 5 or 6 months is gone at this point. So,
right, and you saw a spike,
right,
when Delta came along, because their vaccine effectiveness had dropped down to 30 or 40%, half of what it was reported to be with the initial two doses. So
right,
they had a false sense of security.
Right.
Period.
And that's where I was going with this. So when they're yelling about the unvaccinated, though, the unvaccinated to me is now anybody that has surpassed that 6 month period. But do they have, okay, and that's why people are talking about the booster. But at some point, as I have understood you before, we got a variant that's going on now, but even if you do the booster, this virus can again shift and change. Isn't that correct?
Well, sure it can. It can continually mutate as long as you're messing with it. So, and that's what viruses do. They are machines for altering genetic responsiveness. Not only that, one of the reasons you're not hearing about so much about influenza A, viruses talk to viruses. Viruses change cellular environments to prevent other viruses from coexisting within their infected cells. So what you will end up having is coronavirus can replace influenza virus as the dominant respiratory virus in your population. So if you get to a certain point with that, it will suppress what you're seeing from influenza. Now, with the influenza virus, there's about 205 different variations, a little over 200, let's say between 200 and 220. They pick five based on the experience of the Southern Hemisphere to work on something to give you a shot and hope that it's 50% effective, which is just a roll of the dice, a flip of the coin, when it gets to be your flu season. But what they're not telling you is that when they give you that flu shot, it reduces your resistance to the other 200 strains of influenza.
Wow.
Now, the question might be asked, since there's about 21, 23, maybe 25 strains of coronavirus, does this shot against the Delta lower your resistance to the other just as the influenza one does? The jury is still out on that.
Why is it that the Israelis are so much on top of this with their research and things of that nature, and we're not getting the same? Why in this country, Charles, with all of the technology and doctors and scientists that we have, why are they ahead of us in all this? Why in this country aren't we ahead of Israel with this, as an example?
Well, first of all, Israel is a highly sensitive population with international connections. They can get the best and the brightest from anywhere in the world, and they need to protect their population. They need to protect it against bioterrorism or anything else. So it only makes sense that they have a very robust program to do due diligence on anything that someone else is trying to do. They're not going to follow your narrative. So now, the other thing that you're taking for granted, Israel is interested in the health piece. Over here, this is not about health care. It's about wealth care. The narrative is about health care. But if that were the case, then why aren't you allowing the people who are doing research? For example, you have double-blind control studies that identify that ivermectin is effective and that hydroxychloroquine is effective. You have some hospitals using that. You have some practitioners using that. And they're reporting that they have results within 2-3 days, reducing the morbidity and mortality. So when you say, no, we don't want to listen to you, or no, that's not approved, Marlena's niece, her sister's oldest daughter, is dying in the hospital in Ohio. Now, they started her on ivermectin as well as everything else that we're doing. And the administration made a decision to stop it because it's not FDA or it's not an approved treatment for COVID. So now if there was transparency in all of this, then why aren't we looking at global research and taking advantage of what other countries are saying and doing? So anyway, there's a difference between healthcare and wealthcare. This is political. Have you heard anything from the Surgeon General? You know, back when we were kids, you had cigarettes. Then as we grew up, there was a label on the side of the cigarette. According to the Surgeon General, this is unhealthy. Anyway, I don't want it to get too far off of the beaten track. The bottom line is we don't have enough data yet to answer all of the questions related to the booster. If you've got it the first two shots and you've weathered it, and there's no doubt about it from the research around the world that your immunogenicity or your viral effectiveness is going to fade. And unless you have a foundation of health, when you go down to immune deficiency, that includes zinc deficiency, vitamin D deficiency, vitamin A deficiency, you need to resolve these risk factors for yourself. Because with or without the vaccine, if your effectiveness declines or your immune system wanes and you have a weak immune system, you'll be victim to whatever organism is out there because you can't stop it. You don't have the tools to stop it.
Mm. Charles, what about people?
Maybe you're looking for something a little happier.
Well, Charles, you're good with the explanations. I mean, it doesn't make people any happier, I don't think. But I think that the search for understanding, I think, is a big deal for people because this is an emotionally charged issue. There's just no doubt about it.
The problem is fear, Jimmy. The problem is fear. People are being motivated by fear.
Right.
You're not asking the question of all of the people who got the vaccine. Did you want to get the vaccine because you did your research and you believe in the research that was done? Or did you do it for peer pressure, for fear of losing your job? Did you do it because your family bugged you to do it? Or you just did it because the President of the United States said do it? Or you think it's some kind of patriotic thing?
It's D, all of the above.
So, with Deming, you're talking about quality control. The first thing in that, in terms of QA, and the whole world has been tipped going into, you know, the Lean Six and everything else, Kaizen. The first thing you have to get rid of in an organization, if you want to improve the quality of it, is fear. So why do we have incentives that include bribery, companies offering vacations and $200 bonuses and incentives for you to get a vaccination and all this other stuff? If it was, when you can't support it with common sense or facts. That's why a lot of people hesitate.
Yeah. Charles, what about the people that already had the virus? Are their systems, because are they going to have natural antibodies or whatever you call it, more so that would be stronger than the vaccinations?
I'm glad you asked that question, because there is actually research with that. So when you have an individual who is exposed to the native virus versus, so we'll call that group exposed, and we'll call the other group that has not been exposed to SARS-CoV-2 over the last, 20 years since it's been out, there is a difference. what the studies are showing is that individuals with previous exposure, when you give them the single dose of the two-dose shot, it improves their immunogenicity. The second dose doesn't improve it anymore, which means there could or should be a differential. And this is a study. These are peer-reviewed journals that has this information. So the SARS-CoV-2 naturally affected individual, the single mRNA vaccine dose seems sufficient to reach immunity. Modifying current dosage schedules would speed up vaccination campaigns. In other words, they should only need one. You follow?
Yeah, so because for them, the one shot
is boosting what they already have from herd immunity,
right,
or with herd immunity. So that's the other thing. You don't know the effect because it hasn't been out there long enough to know whether or not herd immunity will kick in. Those who had never been exposed, they get the two doses, and they probably get one 6 months down the road or whatever their shot is going to be. Along with that, keep in mind that herd immunity is still building. And by herd immunity, I mean that the virus is being shared from individual to individual, whether you see it or believe it or not. And immune systems collectively are adapting to reduce its toxicity, ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Well, with all of the rhetoric they're putting out there, they're saying nothing about the people who have had it that haven't got, that are unvaccinated. I mean, they're still claiming they need to get vaccinated. I mean, look, I agree with you. Yeah, a lot of this is political and has to do with the midterm elections, in my opinion.
That's just the narrative. And one of the problems with that is that the Pfizer study was based on naive people, people who had not been exposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, they didn't do studies on people who were already exposed to it, because they might have found that individuals who were already exposed to it had long-term immunity from exposure 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 years ago, like that. So that would confound what it was that they were trying to put out. Now, other people are looking at that combination. That's not the only question that comes up. If you're going to give a booster, and somebody got the first dose from Pfizer, the second dose from Moderna, well, what's the effect of the combination of them? Which booster should they get? Which manufacturer? And then you have people that not only did the Pfizer one, full spectrum, but did the Moderna one, and they were looking for the J&J.
Right.
So you have people who have had all of them. What is the consequence of giving them a booster? The other thing about not including people with immunity, or another reason to say, well, even if you've been infected, we want to give you the vaccine. Then you can claim that the vaccine is responsible for their benefit, as opposed to studying them as a cohort to see how long naturally acquired immunity will last versus vaccine-acquired immunity.
Hmm.
Once again, we're lacking transparency. That does not create confidence.
Well, we're going to be wrapping this up right now because we got a couple of comments here. One person said COVID deaths worldwide is 4.5 million from a worldwide population of over 7 billion, less than one.
Very low percentage.
Yeah, very low percentage is what the person is saying. Another person is saying it's all political. The brunt coming from the right, and they aren't telling the truth. I'm not sure I understand that. The left is the one doing all the talking right now, so I'm not sure what we're talking about the right, but at any rate.
Well, this issue has been crossing administration since 2002. It's
right.
It's been building to now.
Mm-hmm. Well, so Charles,
now we're pulling the trigger on some agenda that lacks transparency.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're really out of time now, so we're going to have to thank you, as always, Charles, for being so, clear with some of this. I know that some of it's a little technical for people, but I think they get the gist of it, one way or another. You know, the bottom line is they're going to have to make the choice themselves, and that's really what what it is, because they're going to be getting so much conflicting information. Well, Charles, thank you very much for being on the show. We really do appreciate that. And with that, now we're going to be getting ready to close out. Jamal, you have anything to say to close out?
I'm still just as confused as ever, man.
Well, you know, because a lot. There's a lot out there. You know, there's a lot out there.
Happy Sunday, everybody.
All right. Listen, do us a favor. If you like what you heard, spread the word. And right before we go off the air, we'll make one comment. Jamal, your Giants lost again today. They're 3-0. Excuse me, 0-3. Maybe they'll win next week, man. So take care.
Bye-bye.
Couldn't resist that. Thanks, Charles. All right. Thanks, Candace. All right.
You're listening to Listen Up with James Potts and co-hosts Jamal Potts and Zaylor Stout, only on LA Talk Radio.